Hello, and welcome to Heavenly Manna with Milton Harris. On today's broadcast, we're going to conclude the message started on the New Bridge broadcast by evangelist Keith Allison, as he's in Jude, verses 17 through 25, on things to remember in times like these. Well, thank you for tuning in, and I hope this broadcast is a blessing to you.
In apostate days, amen, we do not have to be victims of our circumstance. We do not have to be victims of what's going on, but we can be victors, amen. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, amen. And this is the victory of our faith, even our faith, amen. Aren't you glad for that? We have the indwelling Holy Ghost that lives within us. He is our seal. He is our guide. He is our witness. He is greater than he that lives in the world. And no wonder the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:13, Brother Milton, I can't do it, but he can. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So what I'm saying today is when we look at the picture that the Bible paints of the last days, it's dark and it's gloomy and it's going to get worse than what it is. When you look at the news, everything is dark and bleak. And listen, I'm in a different church basically every week of the year, and I see the numbers failing. I see churches shrinking. I see people getting out. I see people dying. In other words, the change that's coming across in our land. But I just want to tell you today, we ought to remember some things, amen. And we ought not, you don't have to tuck your tail between your legs like a dog and walk off whimpering, friend. I want you to know that you are somebody this morning in the Lord. You're saved if you're saved. You're his children, amen. You serve a sovereign God. You have a glorious gospel. You've got the indwelling Holy Ghost, amen. And there's not a reason in the world why we can't live right, do right, and have a strong fundamental church in 2025, amen. Let's not, listen, I feel like preaching, Brother Billy, let's not be a has-been. Let's be an up-to-date church, amen. I'm talking about old-timey church, praise God. Is that all right? Can I say that, amen? We don't have to be a has-been. We can be right with God and living for him and serving him in these last days, amen. Praise God. Let's remember, number four, let's remember that we have a sufficient grace. Can we just remember that this morning, that we have a sufficient grace? Remember Paul's situation over there in 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12 and verse number 9. He had gone through that experience with the thorn in the flesh. He'd prayed about it three times. And God came to him and said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh my. My grace is sufficient for thee. God was saying, Paul, in essence, I'm not going to remove, listen, God was saying, I'm not going to move the thorn in the flesh. You know how I interpret that this morning? I interpret that this morning by God saying to you and I, I'm not going to change your circumstance. This world's headed in the direction that it's going. This apostasy's headed in the direction that is prophesied of. The end time is approaching. There's certain laws of nature and certain laws of the physical life that has been set in motion. And one of them is I'm going to get older. And as I get older, I'll deal with more physical problems. And eventually, if the Lord doesn't come, I'm going to die. And in the process, I'm going to see other loved ones die. I'm going to see other loved ones get sick. I'm going to see all of this. I'm going to see all that I see in life. And what God is saying is I'm not going to change the circumstances in which you're living in. And what I want you to understand, if you and I are going to say, God, I could live right if you would only do this. God, I could be happy if you would only change. God, I could be successful and I could be prosperous and I could be victorious if you would only change all of this in my life. And God is saying, no, I want to change you. I want to change you. If there's anything that needs to be changed, it ought to be us. And it's with a sufficient grace. How do you interpret that? What does grace look like? What color is it? What shape is it? What name can you put on it? I'll tell you what grace is. Grace is when that physical infirmities come. A grace is that unseen strength that seems to support your soul and your spirit and help keep your head above the water as you go through the difficulty you're in. Amen. A grace is that strength. It's that unseen arm that reaches around you and holds you up when you're having to walk by the casket of your friend or your loved one and your family member. It's that unseen strength that just comes to you and gives you that peace in your heart. And that, in other words, whatever the need is and whatever it's going to take to help you to have victory at that moment of your life, that's what grace is. Amen. I thank God for saving grace. I found that as a 17-year-old teenager. That saving grace. I thank God for that living grace. And for over 51 years, not I, but Paul said, I am, 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. He said, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. I'm thankful for living grace this morning. I'm thankful for suffering grace. That's what Paul dealt with in 2 Corinthians. And then when my time comes, there will be. Preacher, how do you know? My Bible tells me so. There will be dying grace. Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Preacher Tommy C. passed away this week. I went to the funeral home Thursday night, went to the funeral Friday. I went Monday a week ago to visit with him, and he had been in and out. But I went, and on the Monday a week ago, I was there. He was alert. He set up. They raised his hospital bed up in the house. He set up, and we talked a while. And then a couple came in that he had been their pastor there at Revival Baptist for many years, and they came in. And we just had a good time. And Brother Tommy and I, we reminisced, and we talked about the Lord and talked about all those things, and you could just tell he had the grace of God on him. And when I left, I knew I'd never see him. I'd never talk to him again. But the family, one of the grandsons had a part in the funeral service, and of course they told me this at the funeral home as well. But they said just the last couple of days he was out of it, unconscious, you know, so to speak. But one of the last wakened moments he had, some of the family was in the room with him, and he said, "I want everybody to stay." He had in his mind, he was already taking some morphine, you know. They were giving it to him to help him stay comfortable, but in his mind, the grace of God was settling him. And Brother Tommy said, "I want y'all to all stand and sing 'Amazing Grace.'" And the family began to sing 'Amazing Grace,' and they said he cut into preaching for just a few minutes, and then he said, "Has anybody got anything they want to say?" Amen. What is that? I'll tell you, that's God just hovering in, amen. Thank God. And I don't, listen, I'm telling you, neighbor, we need to remember some things. Jesus said, he told his disciples in John chapter number 14, he said, "I'm going away," but then he said, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come to you," Jesus said. "I'm going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." We're not orphans. We're not left in this life alone. We don't have our problems alone. We don't have our difficulties alone. We've got God. I don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican. Well, I do care. You know what I'm saying. But in the context of what I'm saying, it doesn't matter whether it's a Republican or a Democrat in office. What matters is God's on the throne. Amen. It doesn't matter. It does, but in the big picture, it's not who's controlling the House and the Senate. It's the fact that God's on the throne. Amen. Remember these things. In times like this, we serve a sovereign God. We have a glorious gospel. We have the indwelling Holy Ghost. We have a sufficient grace. And then lastly, we have a future filled with glory. Remember that. When Brother Gleason stepped out of this life the other night, maybe no one in there with him, nobody knew it at the moment, but I guarantee you the Holy Ghost was there. I guarantee you, friend, that the Spirit of God, that God Himself was there. And what a blessing it is that to know that when we pillow our head of a night, we may never wake up. And I think that when I go to bed, and sometimes I'll even whisper in a prayer, Lord, if I never see the daylight of another day, let me wake up in Thy presence. Going to have a new body. Is anybody's wearing out? Woo, amen. I get tickled. I see somebody, this fellow saw me, I saw a man at a preacher at the funeral I'd not seen probably in 8 or 9 years, and he said, Preacher, you ain't aging. And I said, you just ain't looking. I am aging like everybody else. But I'm going to have a new body. I need. That's what the Bible, that's what these apostles said. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. 1 John 2:2. That's what the apostles said. And Jude is saying, remember the words of the apostles. I'm going to have a new body. I'm going to a glorious city. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. I'm going to a land where all the saints will be gathered together. I'll see Brother Tommy again and Miss Glinda, as he called her. She passed away last November. And he always referred to as Glinda. Her name was Glinda, but with Tommy C's slang, he called her Glinda. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't the gospel, isn't salvation wonderful? That this is not the end. I pulled up and I looked over. We parked down here and we pulled in the shade. And I told my wife, I said, we're getting somebody's parking place. But they should have been here. Hello. So I got there first, parked in the shade. And I looked over in the cemetery. And I got some news for you today. That ain't the end, amen. That's not the end. Remember that. And while we're remembering, let's live for the eternal and not just for the present. But beloved, you see, he went through 16 verses painting a dark, bleak picture of apostasy. But when you get to verse 17, the tone changes. But, beloved, remember ye the words. Thank God we've got something to remember. We're going to stand all over the house. Brother Milton's going to stand out here. They're going to come with an invitational hymn. I don't know your heart. Again, this is simple stuff today, and it's something you know. I didn't come to give you something you didn't know. I just come to try to be an encouragement and a help on this Sunday morning. May God bless you and help you, whatever your need is. And if you're here today and you're not saved, you ought to be so thankful that you can bow the knees of your heart and say, Lord Jesus, would you save me? Would you forgive me and make a new person out of me? He'll do that. And if you're here today and you're filled with fear and anxiety and all the different emotional pulls that life is working us over with right now, why don't you come and just lay that burden down at His feet and say, Lord, I just want to trust you with it this morning. Maybe nobody else knows what's going on in your life. Maybe it's just a little private issue between you and God. I want to remind you, I want you to remember that God is sovereign and that you have the indwelling Holy Ghost. They can handle what's going on in your life.